Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
This morning a little different. I'm going to start by making some coffee, if that's okay with you guys. You guys cool with that? I do this every single morning of my life. I do not miss it. Without fail, when I wake up, I walk to the kitchen and I start this white kettle. And I normally have a grinder, and I'm going to spare you guys the noise of the grinding of the coffee and the smell, because I don't have enough to share with everybody. Maybe you'll still smell it anyways. But what I do is I wake up every morning, I start this kettle, I grind my coffee fresh, and then I start to pour. And I measure very, very scientifically on the scale. Doesn't this look like a science experiment? So first I bloom the coffee, and what that's doing is that's just waking it up and letting everybody get to know one another in the filter here. And so we're just letting it kind of bloom, and that's releasing oils, and you're going to get so much more flavor when you bloom. And then after it blooms, for just a few seconds, I'm going to go ahead and do my initial pour. Normally I'm making for Madison and myself, so I do two, but today I'm just going to do one pour because I only have to get up to 320 grams, because that's all I'm going to drink this morning while I'm talking to you. And I may start doing this every Sunday, because I mean, a fresh cup of coffee while I'm preaching, praise God. I went to 324. It'll be all right. The Lord will forgive me. But what I want to do today while that is continuing to brew is go ahead and review from last week. Last week, we started a new series called Daily Devoted, and we talked about how Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, how often? Daily, Luke said, and follow after me. And so we talked about living a life that is continually devoted to God. And what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about a lifestyle of devotion. And what I mean by that is what we would call quiet time, or we would call personal worship, or you may call it even devotion time. And so for today, next week, and the week after, we're going to be talking about the practicality of a devotional life. Today, we're going to talk about reading the Word. Next week, we're going to talk about prayer. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about worship in our personal time. And so I want to encourage you to develop a healthy rhythm of being in the Word of God on a daily basis. And I really want to draw your attention to that word, rhythm. The word rhythm means this. It's a regularly recurring sequence of events, actions, or processes. It's something that happens over and over again. And I believe that we should have a healthy rhythm and habit of being in the Word of God. Much like every single morning, I have a rhythm and a habit of I walk to the kitchen and I make coffee. And when that coffee is done brewing, I pour it in a cup, which I'm about to do here if this ever gets done. This is taking much longer than I thought that it would. I thought I would be to this point by now. But I have this rhythm, and this helps me get ready to spend time with God. Every single morning I wake up and I take a cup of coffee in my hand, and when it is done brewing, and I'm just too impatient. I'm not waiting anymore. It smells too good. No, it's okay. Thank you. I can put it back in here. I'm not going to make too big of a mess. If I do, Caleb is our newest deacon. He's the lowest on the totem pole, and he's going to clean it up. So that's a joke, Caleb. So I get my cup of coffee every single morning. I normally sit it down. I let it cool because you can taste it better when it's cool and your tongue isn't being burned. So I normally wait a little bit. And then I get my Bible, and I open up my Bible. And at home, I don't use this Bible. I should have brought the Bible that I use. And I read it. And I have a systematic reading plan that I use. I choose, this is what I'm going to be reading. Many times, I'll do the Bible through in a year. And I'll read that. This year, what I'm doing is I read one psalm. And then right now, I'm reading one chapter out of Ecclesiastes. And then one New Testament chapter. That's my systematic reading plan. What does that do? That helps keep me on track. That is a rhythm that I have developed so that I'm not just like, well, am I going to read today? Where am I going to read? Oh, wow, Jeremiah 52. That sounds great. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. God, please help me have a good day today. Like, how would I get anything out of that, right? But if I'm systematically working through the book of Jeremiah, I'll have context as to what is happening around that, and I'll have a better understanding of what is taking place. And so I always sit down in my chair, and I'm usually right across from Madison. We're about this far from one another in the living room, and sometimes I just stare at her for a little bit. And she always goes, "What are you looking at?" And I say, "I have a certificate that gives me the right to look at you anytime I want." Me and that woman got a license to fight, right? And so today I'm going to turn to John, the 8th chapter, because that's our text, and I want to read it to you. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Usually about this time I'll take a drink of coffee, so it's not as good as at home, but for the setup I've got here, it works. All right, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." What does that say of people that do not abide in the word of God? Yeah. It makes a clear indication that they're not disciples of Jesus Christ. It does not mean they don't believe in him, right. Because it already said that they believed in him. Yeah. But let me remind you of what James said. Even demons believe and tremble. So belief is one thing, and we already covered this last week, that belief is a prerequisite for coming to God. I'm not saying you don't need belief. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and without him it's without faith it's impossible to please God. For if anyone comes to God, he must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So belief is necessary, so they are entered into the first stage that they need to be followers of Jesus Christ. But we also realize, based upon last week in the book of Luke, if anyone desires to come after him, he doesn't just say, "Believe in me." He says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." And so now he's speaking to people that believe in him, and he says, "If you abide in my word." That word "if" is conditional. My dad always says that it's the most, it's the smallest, biggest word in the Bible. Because "if" means it's conditional upon if you do what he's telling you to do. So if you continue my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. I thank you that we get to look to your word, and I pray that you would help each and every one of us to develop healthy rhythms in our life of the reading of your word, the study of your word, obedience to your word, prayer, being devoted to you in worship and in obedience, and being aware of your presence at all times and in all places. And I pray that you would be with us in this service today as we talk about being daily devoted to your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so we're going to talk about having this rhythm. And one thing I want to say is, when it comes to Bible reading, it's not rigid, it's a rhythm. Rhythms are not meant to be rigid, they're meant to be fluid, that there's like a flow to it. So I told you that I am systematic in what I read, but I'll be honest with you, there are times that I start in Psalms and I never get to Ecclesiastes, I never get to the New Testament, because I get so hung up on something that I'm reading in the Psalms, and I begin to study that and look at that I just stay in the Psalms. Sometimes I read all the way through the Psalm without stopping, and then I go to Proverbs or Ecclesiastes and then a New Testament. Sometimes I'll rotate in an Old Testament book, and sometimes I underline a lot, and sometimes I don't underline anything. Sometimes I stop and I pray about certain verses that I don't understand, and sometimes it's something that I'm very familiar with, and I'm just reading to fill myself with the Word of God. And so today we read John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, and I want to talk a little bit about that, because Jesus is speaking to this group of people that they believe in him, but he doesn't take for granted that just because they believe that they've become disciples. Because like I said earlier, there's a difference in believing in God. In fact, you ask most people if they believe in God, and they're going to say yes, especially here in Alabama. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? And they're going to say yes. But we established last week that you have to believe in order to come to God, but it does not stop there. Jesus differentiates between believing in him and being a disciple. Now, I mentioned last week, when being daily devoted, that discipline becomes desire, and desire gives birth to delight. That's what happens when you read this book. and you create a healthy rhythm of reading the Bible every single day. Maybe it's one verse, maybe it's one chapter, maybe it's, you know, like downloading a YouVersion reading plan, but you're saying, you know what? I'm going to develop the rhythm and the discipline because Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciple. Yeah. So if I'm not abiding in this book, I may be a believer, but I'm not a disciple. But when I abide in this word, now I realize you say, well, they didn't have the Bible. Jesus wasn't talking about the Bible. Well, we do have the Bible.
Right.
And this is how we learn the words that Jesus spoke.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the word, Logos, and the Logos was God. And that's speaking of Jesus. I'm going to change mics because this sounds really bad. Sorry, y'all. That was bothering me very bad. So Jesus encourages us to be disciples through abiding in the word. And he says that being a disciple is accompanied by knowing the truth, and the truth will make us free. So what happens is Jesus is talking to them. We didn't read the entirety of the text, but if you did, the people that believe in Jesus begin to say to him, how can you say that we need to be free? We are the children of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anybody. Really? Did you forget about the 400 years that you spent in Egypt enslaved to the Egyptians? Did you forget about the Assyrian exile of the of Israel and the Babylonian exile of Judah? Did you forget that actually in the current context of the scripture that they're saying this, they are living, yes, in their ancestral lands, but they are under Roman rule and heavily taxed, and they are right now slaves to Rome. And they're saying, I'm not enslaved to anybody. Here's the problem is when you are bound to something, a lot of times you don't even know it. You're unaware of the fact that you are enslaved to it. And you say, I'm not a slave to anything. Because until you read this book and it becomes a lamp under your feet and a light under your path, and it illuminates the things in your life that are causing you to live in bondage, you will live your entire life thinking you're free, all the while chained to vices and to temptations and to bad thought patterns that have been cycles in your life forever. And the way that you can break the bad cycles is by developing these healthy rhythms, because Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. The problem is everyone wants the freedom without the disciplines of being a disciple. They don't want to give themselves to the word of God and allow it to transform their life and have precedence and have authority to tell you what to do. We want to be comforted and we want to be encouraged, but many times we don't want to be convicted or told what is wrong in our life by the word of God. Whether that's when we're reading it or whether that's when the preacher is up here talking. We do not want to be confronted with what's wrong in our life. But the word of God will do that. You see, if you, I referenced earlier that if you ask most people in our area, do you believe in Jesus? They would emphatically say, yes. You know, you ask people all the time, are you saved? Yeah, listen. Everybody's saved in Alabama. There's like 0.1% that's like, I hate God and I don't want anything to do with him. Like, it's like finding an agnostic or an atheist in Alabama is like, you know, finding Yeti in the wilderness, right? Like, there's just not, everybody believes in Jesus. And it makes it very hard to evangelize to people, and it makes it very hard to win souls, because everybody already thinks they're saved, because one time when they were 6 years old or 10 years old, they went to the altar, and they got the hell scared out of them, right? And so they went to the altar, and they cried, and they prayed a prayer, and they think that that means that they're saved, and they're going, that's not what Jesus said. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. He said, if you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and truth will make you free. So here's the thing about all the people that claim to know Jesus. The problem is they say they know Jesus, but they don't have any freedom in their life. They're bound to lust. They look at pornography on a regular basis. They're bound to greed or to debt. They're bound to
vices and temptations and depression and fear and anxiety. And the thing is you can believe in Jesus all you want, but until you know, and that word know means become intimate with, gnosko, until you know and become intimate with the truth, you will never truly experience freedom. Yeah. And maybe there are cycles in your life of habitual sin that you're doing over and over and over again. And you go, I go to church, I believe in God. You need a healthy rhythm of reading the word every single day, because Psalm 119 says, how will a young man cleanse his way except by taking heed to the word of God? Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 3, you are already clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says that the husband should take care of the wife in the same way that Christ takes care of the church, washing her with the water of the word. The word of God is a cleansing agent that comes into our life and it washes our soul. It cleanses our spirit. It renews our mind. It makes us free from sin. And it also makes us aware of what sin actually is that maybe we didn't even know we were doing and it was wrong. And so we need that healthy rhythm of living in the word of God. So Jesus didn't say, if you read my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. He said, if you abide in my word. Yeah. You see, I think we go, well, I do. I read the Bible once a week, but how many other things do you do every single day without fail? And you claim that God is God. God, him being God means he's master, he's Lord, he's in charge. He gets what he wants. He's not at your disposal, you are at his disposal. And so I read the word of God out of subservience to the Lord, out of submission to the Lord, because I love God, because I believe that it's from him to me. It's a gift from God. It's not something I have to do. It's something that I've learned to delight in doing. And Jesus said, if you abide in my word, that word abide in the Greek means to remain. It means in a place, to abide, to stay. I love number three, of expectancy. Jesus is saying, if you have an expectancy when you read my word, can I tell you something that I've learned in my life is when I look to the word of God with expectancy, I get more out of it than when I'm just reading it to do my daily due diligence and say, oh, I'm a good Christian. I read the Bible. And I can tell you I've read through the Bible 7 times over the past 7 years. And I can tell you where this is and what that is. No, but instead I'm looking to the word of God with expectancy. What are you saying to me today? What do you have for me to learn? What do you have for me to grow in? And what do you want me to change? And I come to the word of God with expectancy and everything changes. To await, in a state, to continue, in a task, to endure. So that sometimes it is a discipline and it is a task. But if you'll endure in that discipline, that task, what will it come? It will become delight, yeah. Right? It'll give birth to delight. So of a relationship, to exist permanently in. I love that word relation, of a relationship. I want to develop a relationship with the word of God that I can't wait for it to speak to me in the morning. Let it read me. Let it get into my heart. So how do we do these 6 things? How do we abide? How do we remain in a, how do we stay in a place? How do we await in expectancy? We continue in the word of God by these 4 steps. Number 1, consistent reading. Consistent reading. Remember, Jesus didn't say, if you read my word, he said, if you abide in my word. I believe that there is a power in the consistent reading of the word of God. You may read today and you not get anything. And then you read tomorrow and you don't get anything. But maybe on the 3rd day, maybe on the 4th day, maybe on the 5th day, things begin to click and things begin to make sense. Have you ever been watching a movie and you see a character and you're like, wait a second, where did they come from? Who are they? What is their name again? I don't remember. Remember, but then the more you watch the movie or maybe a show that goes on and on and on, you begin to see these same characters and you realize their personality and who they are and who they go with and how it all begins to click together. That happens as we continually read the word of God. We begin to draw lines and go, oh, wait. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, there's a valley of dry bones and the spirit of God is breathed into the valley of dry bones. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind and he filled, and you begin to draw these parallels and these lines of context between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So consistent reading. The next thing that is very important is studious comprehension. I'm a big proponent of make sure you understand what you read. Don't just go, well, I read my Bible and give me a gold star and I'm a wonderful, you know, Sunday school attendee now because I read my Bible every single day. But study to show yourself approved. Have studious comprehension. You may say, I just don't understand it. Well, then study until you do. Here's what I truly believe. If you care enough about anything, you'll find YouTube videos. You'll find manuals on how to do it. You'll take a class on it. And so become studious in the Word of God. Don't just read it because I'm telling you to read it. Don't just read it because you feel like you have to. Become studious so that you comprehend it. The next thing is intentional application. When I read the Bible, I don't just read it to gain head knowledge. I read it to gain life application. How am I going to apply this to my life? Remember what James said, do not be hearers only, but be doers of the word of God. So when I'm reading it, I'm asking, I opened up to 1 Corinthians 14 here, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I read that and I go, okay, you know what? I'm going to begin to put that into practice in my life. I am going to pursue love with all I have, and I'm going to begin to pray and say, God, I desire spiritual gifts. I want to prophesy. I want to speak edification, comfort, and exhortation to all men. I want you to use me for your glory. And so because I read that and I looked for a way to apply it to my life, it's not just the letter that kills. Now it's the Spirit that gives life. So the fourth thing is unwavering obedience. You know, we live in a culture that does not respect the Word of God. Some people don't even believe that the Word of God is infallible, that it's without error, that it should be used to apply our life. Many people think it's just an antiquated document that some people think it's forged, it's not real. And so there are going to be people that are not going to align with your biblical understanding of ethics. But we read this book to form ethics in our life. And so we are going to be unwavering in our obedience. So this is how we continue in the Word. By consistent reading, by studious comprehension. Go back to the last one for me, please, Caleb. Thank you, sir. Consistent reading, studious comprehension, intentional application, and unwavering obedience. Now, the next thing, you can go to that next one now. You were just so ready and so excited. I appreciate that. Now, practical application. How do we do that? We make a plan. We stick to the plan. And if we mess up, we start again. Yeah. Okay? You might have a really busy week at work. You might get sick. The baby may not sleep good one night. And it throws everything off. But you right now, if you're saying, you know what? I do not have a healthy rhythm of reading the Word of God, but I'm going to try. Yeah. Let me ask you this. What could you lose by trying? What could you lose? But you could gain so much life and health and peace and encouragement and joy and knowledge of God by reading the Word of God. There's not much you could lose. Maybe a few more minutes of sleep. Maybe you could lose a little more time on your device. But you will gain so much by reading the Word of God. So set a time, set a place, and then decide this. When I sit down, here's what I try to do. When I sit, as soon as I sit down, before I open my Bible, and it bothers, usually Bishop is the only child up at this point. He's our youngest. He's our earliest riser. And the other ones, if they wake up early, we send them back to their room. But Bishop, we can't do that with him. So he's out there. And so I start by just closing my eyes, and I'll just pray for a few minutes. Now, we're going to talk about prayer next week. This is not my prayer time. This is just what I do before I read the Bible. Because I want the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide me. So I say, Holy Spirit, feed me, lead me, read me. Help me to understand what I say. Help me to comprehend it. Help me to find ways to apply it to my life. I just talk to him. And then sometimes I just wait and I just listen. You know, Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That's a command that most Christians completely ignore. Be still. That's so foreign to us. We've got to be doing something. We've got to be doing something for God. But it bothers Bishop when I close my eyes. He'll start like, Madison, I'll hear her over there going, he's fine, buddy. He hasn't died. He's just praying. But it bothers him. But I just sit down and I also choose, I go, you know what? I'm going to drink deep of this book today. I'm going to allow the wealth that it is, the wisdom that it is. I'm going to allow the gift of God that it is to speak to me, because I've decided I can trust this book. And so I can drink deep of it. I don't have to, there's some books that I start to read and I go, okay, I'm going to read this, but I'm going to have to take some of it with a grain of salt. You don't have to take any of this with a grain of salt. Every bit of it is life and peace. The Word of God is living. It's active. It's sweeter than honey. It's a gift that we have from God. It's not something you have to do. It's something that you get to do. So the next thing I want to do is I want to give you, again, I said I want to be very practical. I want to give you three questions you should be asking when you're reading the Bible. I want to encourage you to read like you mean it. Don't just read, but if you're going to read, make it worth your time reading. Have a, like I said, make a plan, stick to the plan. If you mess up, go back to the plan. But these are questions that you should be asking that will help you get engaged with the scriptures. Okay? Number one, what is this saying about God? The scripture is the final authority on who God is. I don't care what the YouTube preacher said. I don't care what I say. I don't care what Jacob said last night, Kenan says tonight, what you heard somebody else say, what your mom, what your dad said. If it does not line up with the Bible in the nature and the character and the essence of God, then it is not true. The Bible is the final authority on who God is. Not a pastor, not a preacher, not grandma. The Bible is the final authority. So I should be asking myself as I read the Bible, what is this saying about the nature of God? Because the Bible is the way that the best way we can get to know God. Yes, we can pray to Him, but if I'm being honest with you, we can lie to ourselves. Yeah. And once we read enough scripture and we attend enough church services, we can make it sound like God in our head. That's why we need the Spirit that gives us discernment and gives us wisdom to help us understand what the Bible is saying. So we should be asking, what is this saying about God? Number two, we should be asking, what was this saying to the people it was originally written to? So what is, what was this saying to the people that it was originally written to? Ephesians wasn't written to you. It was written to the church that was in Ephesus. Corinthians wasn't written to you. It was written to the church in Corinth, right? Philippians, Titus, Timothy. That wasn't written to you. The Bible was written for you. It was not written to you. And what we do a lot of times, especially because we are selfish Americans, is we read something and we immediately ask, what is this saying to me? What is this saying about America? What is this saying about my church? What is this saying about my life? But until we understand the context in which it was written and what the Apostle Paul or Peter or James or John were saying to who they were writing to, we can't fully understand what is actually being said. So I need to be asking that question. The third question is then, what does this mean for me? Not to me, because you don't get to make your own version of truth. Not what does this say to me? Well, to me, you hear people say all the time, well, to me, what this is saying, I'm like, I don't care what it says it's saying to you. What is it saying for you? When it says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you would abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you would know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification, honor. I don't want to hear what you think that says to you. Well, to me, that means this or that. No. What does that mean for you? That means that you need to abstain from sexual immorality. That means that you need to live in sanctification, the process of becoming holy and more like God. So we need to be asking ourselves those three questions. I'll begin to close with this. I want to give you three things that daily devotion is, okay, or will be for your life. Number one, daily devotion is about ministering to God. Ministering to God. When I wake up and I make my coffee and I go and I sit in that chair and I read the Bible and I pray and I seek Him and I worship. And when we'll talk more about this when we get into prayer, when I get on my knees and I begin to commit my day to Him and I begin to talk to Him and I begin to ask Him and realize that I shouldn't be anxious for anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I can let my requests be made known to Him. And I thank Him for my children and I thank Him for my wife and I thank Him for the home that He's given me. And I thank Him that I have clothes to wear and food to eat. And I thank Him for the church that He's blessed us with. And I thank Him for the world that He's allowed us to live in and He created for us. As I do all of those things, I'm ministering to God. I'm living a lifestyle of devotion because I'm saying, God, I'm giving this to you. It's amazing that we as human beings, because we are selfish by nature, we can make everything about ourselves. But I want you to look at devotion as a sacrifice. God, this is time that I am giving to you. I commit it to you. The next 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour or 15 minutes, whatever it is that you decide. And listen, do not think, well, I can't give God an hour, so I won't give him anything. That's such a bad way to look at it. If you give him 5 minutes, trust me, if you really invest those 5 minutes in ministering to God, next day you'll want to go 6, you'll want to go 10, you'll want to go 15. It will begin to grow. It will begin to change your sleeping habits and your eating habits because you'll realize I was made to minister to God. I was created for this. I may be a welder or I'm not a welder. You may be a welder. You may be a banker. You may be a school teacher. You may own a boutique. You may be a mechanic. You may be a plumber, but you were made to fellowship with God. You were made to live a life of devotion to him and to minister to him. And so I'm not saying that you won't get anything out of it. I'm saying stop making your primary focus what you're going to get out of it. And let it be a sacrifice to God. God, I give this time to you. So daily devotion is about ministering to God. Number two, daily devotion will preserve your zeal for God. Yes. Your passion. The fire that's inside of you. How many of you guys, Pastor Jeff and I were talking earlier. He was like, last night at Summer Hunger was just so great. I felt the presence of the Lord that he said he woke up thinking about it this morning, right? How many of you guys have experienced that either this week or you've experienced that before? Sometime God sparked something. Maybe you got a touch from God on the altar. Maybe someone gave you a prophetic word. Maybe you encountered his presence, a great worship time, a great word, whatever it is. And the next morning you've got this fire. Well, do you know how you preserve that fire? Is you develop rhythms in your life of devotion, because I don't know about you, there's been times in my life where I was very passionate and other times in my life where I couldn't care less. Where I'm just like, okay, I guess I'll read my Bible today. I guess I'll pray. Or I won't do it at all because I just don't feel like it. But those rhythms help us develop those daily devotions preserve that zeal and that fire. You know, it says in Proverbs, and it's not really talking about this in the context, but I believe that we can take this from it. I'm going to tell you what it means to me instead of for me for a second, okay? No, I'm kidding. It says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And I believe that that's true, that daily devotion is us putting wood on that fire and say, God, continue to burn inside of me. You're the all-consuming fire. I give my life to you as an offering. And so daily devotion keeps the zeal and it keeps the fire burning inside of us for God. But if we do not continually seek him, it will fizzle out because we'll find something else to fill our time with, something else to be consumed with, something else to look to. But daily devotion preserves the zeal that we have for God. Here's the last one. Daily devotion is the greatest exercise of faith. Let me explain this to you, because that's like, okay, what does that really mean? What I mean by that is this. What you do in private is what you really believe. The greatest exercise of faith is not coming to church and worshiping when everybody else worships. Because that's probably, I'm not saying it's not faith, but sometimes there are people that are in church that don't really live for God, but they're here and they're going through the motions and they're doing all the right things. But if you really believe something works, you'll do it in private. You know those people that, like, when you go out to eat with them, they order water and a salad, but you know at home they eat burgers and fries and Kit Kats. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, you don't really believe that. You're a fake. You're not Santa. You smell like beef and cheese, right? If you got that movie, that's from Elf. It's a Christmas movie. Not about the coming of Christ, about an elf coming to New York City. So anyways, I digress. But I think that there are many people that fake relationship with Jesus Christ, or they believe in him, but they don't abide in his word. I believe that daily devotion is the greatest exercise of your faith because no one else sees you do it but God. Yeah. And you're showing God, I truly, listen, if you will in a room by yourself get on your knees and talk to God, that is the greatest exercise of faith. Why? Because you're not doing it for anybody else. Yeah. You are only doing it for God. And if when you're alone, God is the farthest thing from your mind, then that's probably an issue that you should start to work on inside and go, God, why is it that I don't think about you? But do you know what daily devotion also does? It keeps us close to the heart of the Father. That as I read his word, I realize who he is and his heart for me and what he longs for me to do and how I can please him. And so this daily devotion, it preserves that zeal, it preserves that fire, but it also it's an exercise of my faith to say, God, I'm not doing this for anybody else but you. And so I truly believe that you are who you say you are. Because let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For if anyone comes to God, he must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of what? Those who diligently seek him. It's an exercise of faith. And so I want to encourage you with one final thought as we begin to close today. And that is that what matter. This is where we ended last week, and I want to say it again. What matters most to you will get most of your attention. If God matters most to you, he'll get the most of your attention. He'll be at the forefront of your mind. If God doesn't matter to you, then he may only get Sunday mornings. He may only get 2 Sunday mornings a month. He may only get when things are going bad. And so you run to him when everything's going bad. And listen, here's the beautiful thing about God. He won't turn you away. Yeah. He'll say, come on, cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. But he wants you to start or strengthen healthy rhythms in your life. That's what I want to encourage you with today, is if you do not have a healthy rhythm of reading the word of God, start one.
That's right.
Start anywhere. Ask questions. Come and ask me. Come and ask one of the other pastors, hey, what Bible do you read? What translation should I read? Where should I start reading? Take you know, notes from today. You can access the notes on the seat back in front of you. Take those and download them to your phone and go, okay, I'm going to ask these questions. I'm going to set a time. I'm going to set a place. I'm going to make a plan. I'm going to stick with the plan. And if I mess up, I may fall off the wagon one day, but I'm going to get back up the next day, and I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to seek God, because I truly believe that reading the Word of God is a healthy rhythm that helps us become the people that God wants us to be. Remember what Jesus said, if you continue in my word, or you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. We want to be disciples, not just people that believe in him.
Yes.
We want to know the truth. I want you to live in freedom.
Yes.
You know you live in freedom? By knowing the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ, which is we get to know him by reading his word. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's truth. We thank you that it's life. Hebrews says the word of God is living and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between bone and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and say that all scripture is breathed by God and it's profitable for our life. David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In fact, in the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, there's 176 verses, 178 references to the word, to the law, to precepts, to commandments, to truth, to statutes, all leading us to the word of God. That's how much David loved the word. In fact, there's one portion of scripture where the psalmist says, I wake up in the middle of the night just to read your word. Just to meditate, just to speak it, just to think about it. God, I pray that there would be a greater hunger inside of our hearts for the Word of God. I ask that you would give the grace that is needed. Maybe there's someone here today that wants to create these healthy rhythms, but maybe there's another rhythm that you need to break out of in order to start this. Or maybe starting this is going to help break that rhythm. I don't know, but I just feel God saying, if you will commit to this, you will not be wasting time. You will not regret giving me your heart and allowing me to transform it by the word of God. Let him wash you with the water of the word. Let him cleanse you. So, Father, we thank you for the word, and I pray that we would be people that pursue you with at all costs, live completely devoted to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can lift your hands and prepare to receive this blessing. If you want prayer today, myself, Pastor Madison, and maybe some others will be down here, and we'd be happy to pray with you concerning anything in your life. We believe that that God is a God who still does miracles. He still works wonders, and we want to pray with you concerning anything that you need prayer of on your behalf. But receive this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace. May he smile upon you, give you his name, and may you be devoted to his word. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Be blessed. Go with God. We'd love to pray with anybody that needs it today.